Hello and welcome back to Down the Slope. Once again, two times in a row, you've got me as your host. And for the first time ever since we started recording Down the Slope, we're actually missing Ewan. We've got a full house today, though, if you consider four to be a full house for us. And we're joined by Michael Moore. And Michael, how are you doing?
I'm all right, guys. How's it going?
Not too bad. We've got a not-so-smiley-looking Liam and Greg after last night's result. Greg, how are you feeling?
Ha, come on, Harry. I do my talking on the podcast, mate. When we get the real nitty gritty stuff.
And Liam, yourself?
I'm not doing too good. Like, 24 hours of Hibs Twitter's just about finished me off, to be honest. But I'm hanging on in there.
Well, not going to lie, I was doing my best to be upbeat, but then the tone of Liam's voice has brought me down a few pegs. But anyway, a bit of fun before we get into it. Michael, first time on the podcast. Fun question for you. If you could have picked any Hibs game in history to have come on a podcast afterwards and wax lyrical or absolutely rant your face off at the game, what game would you have picked?
Hearts 4, Hibs 4. Because I convinced myself for about 10 years that game never actually happened. So I would talk about that, and I wasn't there, but we were 4-2 up in the 92nd minute and still never won. So I reckon I would have a couple of things to say about that. And the players are probably lucky that social media wasn't a thing back then, because, well, I can only imagine what would have been said then.
Right, well, I think you've kind of set the precedent. Liam or Greg, have you got any more cheerful matches that you'd like to talk to, or would you go the same route of just something you want to banish after you've ranted about it?
I think just to balance out with a wee bit of positivity, I would say Hibs 4 Rangers 0 in the championship season under Stubbs. Because there was just some lovely football played that day, wasn't there? There's probably been better Hibs performances in my lifetime, but I think just beating that lot 4-0 at Easter Road was quite pleasing. And it was like a Sunday, like 12 o'clock kickoff or something on a Sunday as well. So like I was probably still relatively sober. So there's probably large chunks of the game that I can actually remember, unlike most Hibs games.
And correct me if I'm wrong, sorry, but was that not just after Christmas as well? So it was like festive.
It was like 27th of December or something like that. It was like 2 days after Christmas. Good times.
Anything from you, Greg, game you'd most want to chat about?
Right, well, Morin's gone for a draw and Liam's gone for a win. So I'll go for Hibernian 0, Greenock Morton 3.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Incredible. That midfield word that night was an absolute joke to But that clowning goals, fucking Jesus. Oxley, don't know, he better know still be a football player.
Who was in midfield?
I'm sure it was McGinn, Henderson, McGeoch, and maybe Bartley as well that night. Starting very good midfield, to be fair.
Oh, God. Boys, for a change, because obviously the last few weeks it's kind of started the not so great a start, so I thought it would be a bit of fun to start off, but we're just going to get stuck straight into it. We're playing Celtic at home, obviously got beat by Aberdeen at the weekend. Jack Ross changes the system for, I think, the fifth game in a row. What did you guys think when you saw the team sheet? Liam, we'll come at you first.
I wasn't, like, jumping for joy when I seen the team, let's be honest, but I think imbalance. Looking at the bench, I don't think there was a hugely different team that he could have aimed, to be honest, with the limitations with injuries and what have you. I thought Gogic was maybe a wee bit of a sign that we were going to try and sit a little bit deeper and soak up the pressure. What I was hoping was that would mean that Joe Neal was maybe going to play in the 10 and we'd have someone who's a wee bit more advanced in midfield, but didn't really seem to work out that way, certainly not judging on the first 15 minutes of the game anyway. So I was kind of just all right with the team. I wasn't one way or the other.
And Greg, obviously Cadden dropped out of the team out of the starting lineup for the first time in quite a while. Were you surprised to see that, or do you think it made sense?
Yeah, I was, to be honest, and I was also surprised to see Gogic back in. It transpired it was a horrendous decision again for Mr. Ross, but yeah, I thought that maybe we could have gone with two up top for a change. Get that imposter Murphy away and all. But I thought that Cadden would have been playing and maybe Nisbet and Boyle up front because they're no great shakes at the back, but nah, we shat the bed again.
And Michael, yourself, was there anything you would have changed like before the game? Obviously, in hindsight, we got battered in the first half, so I think we'd all change something. But what were you thinking when you seen the team sheet?
Well, as Liam said, our squad's that thin, and the bench, there's nobody on the bench that, The bench is so bad, which is new. It's true, no fault of a few of the players because they're just young laddies. But when we have like we've two or three injuries away from being a bad team, because that's what we identified earlier on in the season, and now we've lost Doidge and McGuinness. We've had Portress missing for two games, and we've been awful. So for the actual team, there's only so many players he can pick for, and when you've got players that look like they don't even want to be playing, who do you play ahead of?
Summed up well for me, to be fair. But so obviously, game starts off, Celtic come out, the gates flying, playing really high tempo football. Gogic trips up, can't even remember who it was he tripped up, and whilst he was running through.
Rogic.
Who was it he tripped up? Oh, Rogic. Oh, Gogic and Rogic tripped each other up. But Liam, what happened next?
Just one of those fucking horrible lofted balls in the box. And it's like the worst thing about it, it's not even a good ball in the box. He just lofts it in, Turnbull, doesn't he? And then Joe Newell, I think, lets his man go. Paul Hanlon doesn't jump. Ryan Portress gets sucked to the man in front of him and doesn't see what's behind him. I mean, we're talking about the same things ad nauseum here again, because there's no one player at fault. There's Gogic for giving away a free kick, which is just a terrible free kick to give away, because he's been done by Rogic, so he's at fault. New ball watching, if that. I don't know if he was even ball watching. Portress maybe being a wee bit naive, and Paul Hanlon just letting it sail over his head. Take your pick.
And Michael, you were at the game. What was your initial reaction when the ball hit the back of the net?
I wasn't surprised, since we seemed to lose a goal for across every game. I thought the goalie could have saved it. I was just angry at Joe Newell because he just let him. Joe Newell's standing at the edge of the box, shouting everyone else to mark their men, by the way. And then Ralston runs in behind him, gets a header, nabbed near him, scores. And then Joe Newell's asking who was marking him when it was his man. So it's just really bad. That's just really bad.
And Greg, well, obviously we've had problems with crosses for a while. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it looks like we're maybe trying zonal marking and John Mule's got confused with where his zone's supposed to be. Is that what you picked up from the goal, or do you think it's just inadequacy from across the board?
I honestly couldn't tell you what we do, to be honest, Harry. I honestly couldn't. I mean, you've got centre-half, so they don't know what they're doing. You've got a right-back and a left-back that don't know what they're doing. Joe Newell doesn't know what he's doing. Like, nobody knows what they're doing. You know, at that point, Macy should be shouting, stick to your zone or whatever we're doing. But look, zonal marking's pish, right? Because we can't track men at the best of times, so why are we going to allow them to run through zones? You know, we're not good enough to do that. I mean, Monin summed it up really bad. That pretty much just sums it right up. Like, it is really bad. I mean, I think I let a laugh when they scored, because it's like, we've no fucking touched the ball and they've scored. It's like, imagine my shock.
And then obviously it didn't take them too long to find the back of the net again, Greg, since we're on you. Walk us through it.
Wow. First of all, terrible from Portress. I think he's marking the man. Secondly, what is Macy doing? He's got to be saving that, surely. Like, I think he gets a touch tip, but come on. You know, a boy that size, with arms that length, you know, he's really got to be making a save there. It's just so soft. Celtic didn't have to work for any of their goals last night. Not one. We lay it on a plate to absolutely everybody.
I know, from my perspective, like, especially being a centre-back on a centre-back in the box, like, Poaches can't let a player like that run across him. I agree, I don't think he got a particularly good connection on the shot. He did aim it towards the corner, but Macy, it's at a good height for him to get at least a hand on it. I think he's just miscalculated where the ball is, because you can see him flap his hand at it. Personally for me, that's the first, well, maybe second goal of the season after the one at Ibrox that I could say that Macy was at fault for. Liam, what did you think?
It's poor for Poaches, but I mean, any goalie worth their salt's saving that. Like, I'm sorry, but it's a cushioned finish for 8 yards out. It's no good connection. It just trickles by him. It's just like he's Matt Macy in a very kind of stealth way is having a very underwhelming start to his career, because he's making loads of low profile mistakes in games that we're not getting to get anything from anyway. And he's, quite frankly, I think that he's as culpable as some others for a poor start to the season, but no one's calling him out on it, because we've got so many other fucking problems in every other area of the park that the goalkeeper's kind of become least of our worries. It's just a pathetic goal to concede.
Michael, do you agree with that assessment? Do you think that Macy's kind of flying under the radar?
Yes. I'm not a fan of goalies that don't come off the line. He's 6'7". He should be the most feared goalie in the league in terms of coming for crosses. Nobody should get the ball off him. If the ball's in the 6 yard box between his line and the penalty spot, every ball in the air should be his, because he should be getting there before anybody. I didn't actually think it was a corner. I don't even know if he touched it for that Turnbull free kick. I'm not sure. And I think Gogic as well for the corner is. The ball just goes past him, if I remember correctly. And it's not even in the corner, the goal. It's right down the middle of his goal. It's just, again, really bad. Pure amateur hour.
I feel like we've got a title for the...
I'm trying to come up with reasons to explain why it is, when I could just say it was shite.
Yeah.
But... I may say nah. I mean, I just think he's due a big mistake, and that will be when folks sort of. That's when he'll get his Twitter justice.
Justice, is that what we're calling it these days? So obviously, I think it was 9 minutes in that we conceded the second goal, so we were getting absolutely battered. And then I think, to be fair to Celtic, it's probably the best they've looked under Angie. I think that half an hour spell, 40-minute spell at the start of the game, Rogic was back to near like Brendan Rodgers levels. Furuhashi and Jota both looked quite tricky on the ball, and they carved it open quite a few times, and we were relatively lucky, and the luck ended up running out. Really nice work to goal, ended up just being one-touch passes. Initially, I think everybody in the stadium thought it was offside, but Paul Hanlon leaves the guy 3 extra yards. It was really poor from him. And then Furuhashi got his goal, and probably deservedly got his goal because he was having a good game. Boys, so someone sum it up. Aberdeen goal I thought was far too easy, but that was as good a goal as it is for Celtic. It's as bad a goal as it is for us. Like, it was absolutely horrendous watching that.
Yeah, it's just Paul Hanlon again, isn't it? Imagine somebody called him out on it. The boy's dreadful. He's absolutely terrible. I don't know what he's trying to do. He looks like he's trying to play the line, but he plays it far too late. It was so easy. They were playing 5, 6, 7 yard passes in that first half, like, without any difficulty. It was far too easy for them. Like, it's such a 10 yard pass across the box and it's a tapping. No challenge at all. But what you get to expect when you've got that joker at the back.
See when teams are playing those 5 yard passes around you as well, and like they're just basically taking the piss out of you, and you've got Joe Newland, Doyle Hayes, what, to sit in front of the back four and scream the back four, and Alex Gogic doing his ooga booga stuff and running to the ball and running and just charging about the place. The whole team just looks so disjointed because there's no like element of why we're going to press together or we're just going to choose to sit in. It's just all over the shop, eh? It's just. It just makes us look even worse than we actually are, and we are bad.
Well, that's right. there's no balance at all. So the midfielder are the same, and then the defenders are all over the shop because nobody's taking charge. Just looks like there's bodies everywhere, to be honest.
Michael, what did you make of the third goal?
An absolute embarrassment. Amateur hour. Worse than amateur hour. I don't know what the level below that is, but that's what it was. Kevin Nisbet, an absolute disgrace. A disgrace. He'd be as well sitting next to me for the rest of the season. Joe Newell doesn't put a foot in either. Paul Hanlon steps up, trying to play offside. Plays a guy onside. and then the ball across the box and they score. It's just embarrassing. It's like, see when you play Celtic or Rangers and they score a really good goal or somebody hits it 30 yards and it goes in, like, there's nothing you can do because they've got the players that are capable of doing it. We've gave them three goals. Three goals in half an hour. And by the way, it could have been the fact they were only 3-0 up at that point and all. We were actually doing all right, considering how bad we were. We could have been 5 or 6-0. Embarrassing. But aye, Kevin Nisbet, not.
What was your instant reaction after the goal went in, Michael?
I decided to go down the stairs. And not come back.
I think there was a couple of thousand, or maybe more than that, that had the same inclination. So,
and I was also, it was also like I was sitting there like a drowned rat. I thought, nah, rain or snow or thunderstorms, but for 3-0 down after half an hour, I'm going home.
They rewrote that Hibs Hero, so Michael's rewriting that song as well. But yeah, to round
is
off,
I know the same song.
Oh, that's the same song actually. High B Hibernian.
By the way, can I just say how flat was that last night on the speakers? And they put on, I was in really early last night. It's not like me to be in early. They put on, wasn't he loud enough on the speakers for like the first 30 seconds? And it came on, and Barry Wilkins talked over the rest of the track, and you're just like, fuck's sake, man. Can't even get the simple stuff right.
That set the tone for the full night.
I was there, and I don't think I've seen Hibs come at the tunnel for about 10 years. Never in early.
They're still getting a clap, which is mind boggling, to be honest.
Aye. Well, to round off the first half, earlier on in the half when Celtic were 1-0 up, probably a blessing that we didn't score then, because we could have been on the end of a proper hiding if we'd actually managed to worm our way back into the game too early. But Joe Newell had an absolute sitter. The only useful thing anybody done all game was Murphy putting that ball through to him. Really nice ball, to be fair, if he meant it. I don't know if he did. But then Newell, he's got to score there, hasn't he?
Murphy's getting no credit for me, to be honest. Absolutely none.
Well, thank you for not answering my question. Liam, you were saying...
look, do you know what? Right, again, there's no excuse for not scoring there. Absolutely none.
I agree. I think...
I've said it 100 times in this podcast, the guy does not score enough goals for a midfielder that plays position. Does not score enough goals, doesn't even threaten to score goals most of the time, wants to side foot every time he's outside the box. Like, he's meant to be, or he was before he came as an attacking midfielder.
I think any professional footballer should score for that.
Yeah, agreed. But even more so Joe Newell in that position.
And folks saying, oh, it was a good save. Joe Hart was already on the floor by the time he shot. He'd already stuck his leg out.
I tell you what, it doesn't just end at professional football players. Anyone should be scoring there.
Aye.
Slippers on, that goes in still, regardless of what level you play football at.
The main problem for me is the fact he's got the time to actually put it onto his left foot, so that means initially he can smash it with his right foot, and if you've got it onto your left foot, which is your stronger foot, you need to be able to put that. Like, the guy's legs were wide open. He literally had like 10% of the goal that he could have hit it at when he couldn't score, and that's the only place that he hit. So yeah, not great. And then obviously, just before half time, we got a corner. quite a good ball in for a change. We've not seen many good corners taken this season from a Hibs perspective. Everybody thought Ryan Poitras scored because that's the camera panted, but I ended up, I think, Poitras headed the ball off of Martin Boyle's head and it bundled into the back of the net. And so a nice little stat pad from the squirrel. But yeah, apart from that, for me, the main problem was, I said against Aberdeen, the main problem with the midfield was the fact that there was just a massive disconnect. It was kind of defence, and because those two were sitting so deep, it was like six, seven defenders on the pitch, and then you had the three people isolated up top. So then to change that, Jack Ross brought Gogic in, and he's not the type of player that's going to carry the ball up the field. So I just didn't understand what the point in putting Gogic in that team was. Like, if you put him in for Doyle Hayes or put him in for Newell, I could understand, and then let one person sit, which would ideally be Gogic in that situation, and one person be the playmaker. But I just don't understand why you would put three relatively similar players that play a similar role all on the pitch at the same time and expect it to work.
Can we give a shout out to Gogic for when he made a wee dart up the left wing late on the first half, and all the cries for the stand were, "What the fuck are you doing? Get back, get back." And he just turned around and looked and then ran back into his position. Like, he actually took the shout for the crowd. So honestly, the most fish out of water thing I've ever seen in my life, Gogic running up the left wing. I think sometimes he just runs into positions and then forgets, he's like, doesn't realise what he's doing, and then 5 seconds later he's like, "Oh shit, I'm not meant to be there." But back.
Right. To be fair to him, the best performances he had for Hibs last season was when he was literally all over the pitch, but that's probably when he was doing what he wasn't supposed to be doing. I did find his dummy very amusing as well, because it was so stupid and not needed at all. Like, he ran over the ball just so he could dummy it. I was like, mate, just grow up.
He's not Hibs level, Like, he's nowhere near that.
Well, you and your uncle have informed me that many times, so I'm going to start believing you fucking stuff again about it. But obviously, 3-1 down, going into half-time, I heard the boos. Obviously, I'm down in London, so unfortunately I couldn't be there. I heard the boos as the players were walking into the tunnel. Obviously, Jack Ross needed to change something. He brought Josh Campbell on. Personally, I don't think Josh Campbell set the world alight, but I think he did bring a much-needed energy boost to the team. And I think if we started the first half the way that we started the second half, they would have got a lot less heat than they've got, but that might have just been because Celtic stood off. But I did think we actually pressed them quite high to start the second half. And for about maybe 10 minutes, we were acceptable, and then we just petered away again. What did you guys think?
We were very good in the second half. Very good. That Josh Campbell's got scary amounts of ability as well. Huh? Incredible.
Yeah, Liam, thoughts on the second half?
I mean, in scoreline it was similar, but also in the way of the game. Do you remember when Hibs fans were going mad about the second half against Dundee United in the League Cup? I mean, we were raging because the second half, like, Dundee United kind of pegged us back and put us under real pressure. It was just basically that. Like, Celtic had basically just decided that they'd done their work for tonight, got another game at the weekend and eased up, which allowed us to come back into the game a wee bit, but back into the game without creating any brilliant chances, probably other than the Murphy chance. The Murphy chance is a good chance, really good chance. Apart from that, there wasn't really anything noteworthy to speak of. And Celtic still looked like they were a wee bit of danger on the break. Probably didn't carve us open in the way they did in the first half, but I still felt like if they needed to score another couple, they probably could have. So it wasn't, I mean, Jack Ross's assertion that we were very good is overcooking it to a very high degree. We were better in the second half. But we weren't better.
Say that we were as good as Celtic allowed us to be in the second half.
Yeah, you could say that. You could say that. And look, Campbell did bring a bit of energy, but I mean, I think it speaks volumes that his knee subs were Josh Campbell, Dre Wright, and Jamie Gullen. Dre Wright and Jamie Gullen, who doesn't fancy whatsoever. Josh Campbell, who's only been in a handful of match squads, did well at Edinburgh City last season on loan, but they're a League Two club. I mean, yeah. The bench, we've already said it, the bench is paper thin, the squad's paper thin, his options are limited. I don't know what else he could have done with the substitutes he had.
Michael, do you think that the in-game management was acceptable from Jack Ross? Do you think that something should have been changed in the first, like, 15, 20 minutes? We've seen it done before at Easter, not normally from the Hibs perspective, but we've seen, like, really early subs happen. Do you think that should have happened in the first half?
I don't understand why we didn't play the way we did in the second half and the first half. I don't understand why we need to be getting beat and the game basically finished for us to almost go damage limitation, but by going damage limitation, we actually play better than when the damage was caused. I think Jack Ross's game management in general is abysmal. I think he only ever wants to win games 1-0. And if as soon as we go 1-0 up, or if we're getting beat and come back and go in front, he just abandons the passage of play and how we played in that time period to go back to what was not working in the first place. So that's what I think.
It's kind of been the thing that's haunted him. He never really had that issue with St Mirren, but even at Sunderland, he was always criticised for the amount of draws and stuff because he would play for the one-goal victories and then he'd lose so many last-minute goals. Unfortunately, this season, we're just not scoring the goal first to lose the last-minute goals to get points, so it's just completely flat on its face.
The most obvious example I can think of in recent times is the St Mirren game at Easter Road, the 2-2 game. We were awful in the first half, 1-0 down at half time. To be fair, changed it, and we came flying out the traps, went 2-1 up in 15 minutes, and then went back to how we were in the first half instead of just keep going, go for third, fourth. But no, we're 2-1 up, we'll just win 2-1. And then we get 2-2, 5 minutes to go, sucker punch, and then we've not got any time to do anything else, and he's already made these decisions by changing it. And you think he'd learn?
You'd hope he'd learn, but I think we've learned by now that that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Two talking points I've got from the second half. I think the most obvious talking point is Jamie Murphy. Liam particularly last episode was criticising him because he does like to do the fancy bits, but there's not really anything at the end. He had as good a chance, if not better chance, than Newell did in the first half. And again, Joe Hart gets covered in glory when the ball gets fired straight at him. Just how frustrating is it having a player that's clearly got ability but never uses it? I think he's got ability. I don't know if you guys agree with that comment anymore. But Liam, what did you think what was going through your head when you missed that chance?
Sick of being right about Hibs players. I wish one of them would prove me wrong for once. I genuinely wish one of them would go out there and prove me wrong. Jamie Murphy's been a myth since he joined the club, to be honest. And that was another mythical performance because it was just so often the guy gets the ball in space and he does all the stuff that he does, and maybe occasionally he'll get past the defender, and he did it a couple of times in the first half and maybe once or twice in the second half as well. He managed to get that sort of, didn't he really beat the man, but he got that 5 yards of space to put the cross in. Cross came back out off the first man. What use is that? No use. Because he's not got the pace that he's helping us get up the park. He's taking the ball into feet and then he's running at the defender and he's doing what he does. The end product's just not there. I would not be extending his contract. Even if he was to shoot the lights out to now and the end of the season, I would not be extending his contract at the end of the season. So don't be getting any ideas, Hibs.
Greg, I know that you're in a similar boat.
He was dreadful, isn't he? It's absolutely, he's so predictable. You can read him like a book every time he gets the ball. He's boring. He's one-dimensional. His final ball is beyond terrible. Like, it's just shitter. We don't need that. We don't need that at all. And do you know what? We probably shouldn't even have given him this year. We should have just accepted the loan for 1 year. Even that was a push. You know, there we go. Another one of Matthew's absolutely incredible ideas.
Do you know what reminds me about that transfer?
Not got to put one of them in January. We still won't sign the right players. But there we go. Yeah. Doesn't help that your manager's clueless as well. There we go. Only been saying it for months.
Do you know what really fucking infuriates me about the Jamie Murphy transfer? We signed him on a year loan and then a deal after it. Is we got rid of Daryl Horgan, who was another player who frustrated the fucking life out of me because his end product at times was abysmal. But Daryl Horgan would be, his numbers would be far, far better than Jamie Murphy's numbers at this stage of the season. And for last season as well, while you're at it. And Daryl Horgan is one of the most inconsistent wingers I've seen. And he's a better player than Jamie Murphy, hands down.
100%.
So that was another transfer master stroke.
It's not even close. Jose Murphy's living off his time down south. Don't even know if he'd done anything of note. Terrible football player. There's very few players I wish would never pull on the hips to top a game, but he's definitely one of them.
Well, personally, I think we're being a bit extreme, but Michael, what you can try and find let Michael speak, he's going to tell you.
I think that he's not getting any help for the fact that we are basically playing a back seven. And the transition for defence to the attack is non-existent with the ball. So the midfield, and he needs the ball to his feet so he can drive at players. But if we had midfielders pushing forward, it would be much more useful because he would, A, have more people to help him with in terms of, like, people to pass the ball to. And because none of our players move, he just runs into dead ends. But that's not his fault. I think that it's annoying because he's obviously got ability somewhere, but he just doesn't show it. And it's more frustrating because he wasn't bad at Rangers, he wasn't bad down south. So when he was good at Motherwell. So when we signed him, people were like, "Well, this has got to be a good signer," because of based on what they've seen. And then when he doesn't do it, it's like, "Well, why no?" And he gets injured too much as well. That's another problem.
Get a Sindra brush in his teeth, that boy.
Yeah. But I think there's worse than him.
Oh, there absolutely is worse than him. But we're talking about him more than
I know, but I'm just dead. The question that was asked of me was, do I think you're being too harsh? And that is yes. When you compare to other players in the team who are every bit as bad.
Him or Daryl Horgan, who would you have taken?
I was upset when Daryl Horgan left. My ones are upset.
What was that?
But I like them. I thought because he reminded me of, and I know this is going to sound quite grandiose.
Don't sell it, O'Brien.
No. Hibs version of Solomon Kalou at Chelsea. Didn't have a big ego. Didn't have to play every week. Could come off the bench 20 minutes to go, or if somebody wasn't playing well, he could slot in and there'd be no questions asked and he'd give us all. And to be honest, what else can you ask for?
I don't think you could get two guys who look less alike than Salman Kalou and Daryl Horgan. And I'm just imagining Daryl Horgan's head on Salman Kalou's body, and I kind of get it out of my mind.
In terms of footballing ability, strictly only. No, I just think that I like them. I don't know. I think, and Jamie Murphy's probably on too much money as well. He'll be one of our highest earners, if not the highest earner, I'd imagine.
I definitely agree with the lack of help, because I think one thing that was frustrating last year is the fact that Josh Doig was kind of a marauding left back that would like power up and down the wing, and he seems to have completely lost that from his game. So obviously Murphy is literally one on two at times going down the wing, and obviously if Doig was there to help him, or if he did have the extra help from the midfielders, then
because last season he had Jackson Irvine,
aye,
who was a more attacking player than what we have now.
And he would actually play side to side as opposed to just 10 yards in front of the centre backs. So Jamie Murphy has been absolutely lambasted, but at least we've got two and two, so two of us don't think he's the worst thing in the world, and then two of us want him shipped off to some random place, never to be seen again. However, one other talking point from the game that I want to highlight, Ryan Porteous obviously got sent off straight red against Rangers. I think we unanimously agree that it was never a red card. I still think it's a shocking decision in hindsight. However, he did have quite a crunching tackle, it's fair to say, against Cal McGregor. I'll kick us off by saying, again, I don't think it's a foul, but I think he's literally done the exact same thing he's done at Ibrox, but it's in front of the referee. I think personally that's a really stupid thing of Porteous to do, and if he'd got a red card, then I would have thought he'd only had himself to blame. Even though I don't think it's a red card, you can't get sent off for something and then in front of the referee do the exact same thing again and it'd be acceptable. I just thought that was absolutely brain dead. I don't know if these guys have seen the foul, but I just thought that was lunacy from Porteous.
I've seen it. It's not even a book and not even a film.
Do you get what I mean, though, why I think it's stupid? Or no. Do you think?
No, I don't get what you mean at all, Harry, to be honest. The boys won the ball. Are we actually going to start giving free kicks for boys winning the ball now and sending them off for it? Wait, the boy has won the ball. The ball is there to be won. He's gone in and won it. No player has possession at the moment he hits the ball. So, you know what? Let's not tackle. Right? Let's just stand up and shite ourselves every time the ball's near us. Incredible. It's not a foul. So it can't be a booking or a red card. Regardless of where it is on the pitch, regardless of where the referee is on the pitch. Incredible. Carl McGregor was shy about it, that's up to him. But it's not a foul.
You see the Ethan Ampadu sending off last night in the...
It's unbelievable.
Game. Mm. I mean, tackling's going out of football and it has been for a very long time. But I mean, I think the mere fact that we're even debating whether or not that's a bad challenge in a game that a few years ago wouldn't have even been a foul probably speaks volumes. He describes a crunching tackle. I think the only thing he crunches is the ground because that's where his foot lands. And see Celtic fans all over Twitter calling on for inconsistencies. Do me a favour.
Have you seen it about yourself, Michael?
I think Celtic and Rangers fans think that we're playing a different sport when it comes to them. I don't understand. Because that Callum McGregor got an astral burn on his shin, that means it's a sending off. Is that how it works now? Do you know what I mean? He's won the ball. Now, I understand what you're saying, Harry, about if the referee could have sent him off if he's given a foul, do you know what I mean? Following that passage. But he needs to realise that they're trying to get him sent off. And they're going to be pestering referees all the time to get him sent off because he's... I don't want to say he's created that image for himself, but that reputation's been created for him. Do you know what I mean? And if he got sent off, what can you say to him? You've been sent off twice. You got sent off for a tackle that you made. You've served your suspension and then you've came back to the next game and got sent off for the exact same thing. So I think he needs to calm down a little bit, be a wee bit more a wee bit smarter than what he is, because he is lunging in and referees are not going to accept that anymore. Whether we think it's a bad tackle or not, he needs to be more disciplined, I think. And I think it's got to cost us if he keeps doing it.
That was entirely my point. As I say, I don't think it's a foul. None of us think it's a foul. But if referees are holding them to a different standard to everybody else, I do think there needs to be a time where you start to adapt your game to align to it, because the only team that's going to get punished is Hibs if he keeps on doing it. It's frustrating because obviously the aggression, I think, is one of the main strengths of Porteous's game. But he does need to reel it back somewhat, because as we've proven in the last couple of games, we can't really survive too well without him, even though he didn't have his best performance at the week.
See, to be honest, some events in football will unite rival fans. In Scotland, it's Ryan Porteous going in for a tackle. Celtic and Rangers fans are all over each other today, calling it out. You know? But there we go. That's the measure of the pair. Incredible.
He needs to learn how to channel his aggression in a more positive way, because he just, as I say, they're trying to get him sent off now. And the mere pressure that Celtic and Rangers fans put on referees, they've got to just think, it's easier for me to just send them off. Especially when Jack Ross and Paul Hanlon, after he got sent off at Ibrox, are coming out and saying, oh, well, he's given the referee a decision to make. The referee's job is to make decisions. That's why he's there. He's there to officiate a game and make decisions based on what happens. Give him a decision to make. What the fuck does that mean? Every other manager that Rangers or Celtic have had controversial decisions against, every manager this season's came out and berated the ref. Why the devils know?
There are shite bags, a pair of them. Like, do you know what, right? At that point, you come out and you say, look, it's not a red card. You know, there will possibly, a manhunt will possibly ensue for him.
Mm.
And 2 days later, there's articles being written about him. And your manager and your captain are silent as per.
Paul Hanlon.
Incredible how he's captain.
How Paul Hanlon is meant to be a leader is absolutely beyond me. I don't think he could lead the blind, honestly. I think we need to move on for him. We need to be at a new level for Paul Hanlon, because you think of all the bad teams we've seen in the last 15 years, Paul Hanlon's been in them all. But anyway, that's what I think.
Well, listen, honest, I've probably been more critical of him than anyone else on the podcast, and to be honest, I hope folk will now actually realise that he is not a Hibs level, and he's not been a Hibs level for 3-4 years. He's nowhere near good enough. He's not a Hibs captain. He's not a Hibs centre-half. He's nowhere near it. But there we go. We'll just continue with him because he's here. Because, you know, he's part of the furniture now, so why not just keep him here? No, let's give him a wee coaching role as well. There we go. Let's do it all. Give him the lot.
Right, well, incredible. Before Greg's brain actually popped because of Paul Hanlon, I'm going to quickly throw in there. I think he did have a good season last season, even though he's not performing that great this season. However, that pretty much wraps up the Celtic game. So pretty much we got absolutely steamrolled the first half hour. We got a goal back out of nothing, and we didn't really do enough in the second half to earn any sort of result from the game, despite the fact we played very good in the second half, supposedly. One frightening stat is that is 4 losses in a row. Are we in free fall? Is there actually any way Jack Ross can turn us around?
I've already given my answer, to be honest. I gave it the other night.
Can I give you another stat?
Can I go for it?
Jack Ross's tenure again in games against Celtic, Rangers and Hearts, where there's been 18 games and we have won 1. That was a Martin Boyle 2-0 derby at Tynecastle. So 17 out of 18 games we haven't won.
And I would like to see the stats as well to see how many of them we've lost, because I would think we've only probably drawn about 4 of them.
Yeah, well, we drew twice against Celtic last season, drew against Rangers last season.
And then once against Hearts this season.
Yeah, that'll be it, I think.
Brutal.
Yeah. But there we go. You know, I called out, but, you know, there's a big loving for him. You know, he's... You know, let's not judge him, you know, too harshly. We only get semi-finals and shit the bed every time, so there we go.
Apart from against Dundee United, when we get to the final and shit the bed instead, that was great.
Well, exactly. So there we go. So we went one better and still shit the bed. The outcome was the same. But there we go. 3-year deal in the summer. Absolutely incredible, this club.
But we're being more positive. So obviously, we get beat by Celtic. We're a bit down in the dumps. And then we're going to play against a team at the start of the season. We absolutely hammered Ross County. They've not got a win all season. And then they won 5-0 last night, the game before they play us. They played some really, really nice football. They scored some absolute screamers. And it looks like the lone players they've got from England are actually footballers, as opposed to the vegetables that played Easter Road at the start of the season. My thoughts were, if we can get an all right, like a steady-ish result against Celtic, we can go into this game with a bit of confidence. And then... The two results yesterday have given me the absolute fear. I'm not feeling too confident going up to Dingwall. What would you like to see the team shape up to be, Michael?
Oh. Here we go.
I don't even know. The thing about Jack Ross is he's only got so much he can change.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So it'll be the goalie, obviously. Should imagine Paul McGinn will get to play again despite being absolutely horrendous last night. Then take your pick of the centre-half. He's got Paul Hanlon and Poachers, probably. Doig. Fucking hell. Joe Newell. This is absolutely soul-destroying.
I was going to say, if you're not watching on YouTube and you're on Spotify, you can actually see the pain in Michael's face as he's running through the team here. This is not a happy team selection.
Jake Doyle-Hayes,
How many players is that? 4, 6, 7. Another midfielder. He might play Scott Allen, but and then it'll be the front three again: Boyle, Murphy, and Nisbet.
Is that the team you'd go for personally?
No.
What would you go for?
I would not play. See, this is the thing now. I don't even know who I'd play. They're all that bad. I would drop Nisbet. I would drop Nisbet. Who would I put up? Could even play with 10 men, to be honest. just trying to think who else we could play up front.
I think we just need to, people just need to calm down with this Josh O'Connor chat. Like, if it wasn't Gary O'Connor's laddie, I don't think any people would be calling for him to start on the basis of a few games for an under-18s team, basically. And that's what he's playing for, an under-18s team. I'm all for mixing it up and throwing some players in, but people who've never seen the kid play are howling on Twitter about starting Josh O'Connor based on what you've never seen the kid play. I'm open to listening to people who've actually watched the boy play, but I think the number of people who will be able to say that in the last couple of years will be able to count them on one hand. And most of them will probably be employees at Hibs. So, but it's desperate. It's dire straits. Like, Nisbet needs dropped because he's not trying, he's not working, he's not doing in for the team. So, do you play Gullen, who's not a striker, never a striker in a million years? Do you play Boyle up there? Do you play Dre Wright up there again? I'm just throwing it out there. Ryan Porteous.
I don't know if you've seen that boy on Twitter that does. He put up Nisbet's heat map for last night. Nisbet touched the ball 24 times, 5 of which were for kickoff. Taking kickoff. So he's actually only touched the ball 19 times throughout the game.
I think Joe Neal takes the centre for us, but basically, touches.
Perhaps. You could play 10 men or play him. It's much the same. I don't know. I think he will play him, but I don't know.
No other choice, eh? Like, literally no other option. The options are
get somebody for behind the bar and the mallard to go up front. Boy, there's much.
At least they'd show heart, eh? Greg, what changes would you like to see? I know you're probably putting in like the under-13s at this point, but
Paul Hanlon for a start would be a good change. You know. What has he actually done to deserve a place in the team? Because he's captain? Man, he's shit. So, I think that's what, 3 games and 3 mistakes is it for him? Good going. Still getting a game. Kevin Nisbet should be nowhere near the bench on Saturday. Shouldn't he be anywhere near the squad, to be honest.
Shouldn't he be on the bus?
Goggins should be firmly in Edinburgh. I actually don't know, because this is how bad it is. Like,
it's dire. You're literally picking 11 guys. Literally, there's probably about 4 guys on that.
I totally get Liam's point about Josh O'Connor, right? But he is the next available striker we've got,
and he can't be any worse.
He can't be. And do you know what? Look, I know it's not the most amazing level, but he is scoring goals. You know, it's a good habit to get there. Another wee cliche for Liam there, but. Jaylee, I'm absolutely appalled at how bad it is, you know. And do you know what? James Scott's not even fit. Kevin Barr's to get himself fit. That's the mentality of the club at the moment. But folk are happy with that, you know. Folk are accepting that Jack Ross is a manager. Mate, you can't even get players fit. We've got one striker at the club. Literally one striker at the club fit. Nobody else can be asked to. But James Scott can't be asked to get fit. Incredible. Absolutely unbelievable. The mentality is such a loser's mentality. Like, it's literally his job to be fit and ready for a Saturday or Sunday or whatever. Can't even do that. So I don't know why we're still sticking with him. You know, you've got the cart horse at the back that had one game and was absolutely horrific. Like let's draw it. Fuck it. Play Stevenson up front. Why not? We've literally got nothing else. Like, this team is abysmal. This is possibly one of the worst Hibs teams I've seen in a long time. Probably since Butcher. Possibly Heckey, but this is bad. This is really bad. You know, Cannon could have the game in his life and still get hooked at half time.
I think you're close to exploding, so we're going to give you a rest for a minute while Liam makes his point.
Yeah. I saw a howling take on Twitter earlier on the back of that James Scott article that broke, with Jack Ross saying that he's not fit enough to play. Why he said it's Jack Ross's fault that James Scott isn't fit because he's not playing enough minutes. See, if you're a professional football player and you cannot get yourself fit enough to play a game of football,
look, what are you doing? I will blame a lot. What are you doing? Right, but that is not his fault at all. It's up to the player to want to be fit.
James Scott's been living in Hull for the last couple of years, and he's basically come up to Edinburgh because it's a nicer city for a wee holiday, a wee break, because Hull's a shite hole. And he thought, I'll go up to Edinburgh. Hibs will put me up for the season, and I'll just have a wee break. That's his mentality.
A million-pound player, do me a favour.
Thing is as well, how long's Doyd been out for?
Yeah, like 3 months, coming up for 3 months.
So if Doyd's been out for that long, he must be thinking, right, there's only one guy ahead of me.
And he's murder.
And like, so, why would you not try to play? It's not like you've got five or six ahead of you. He's like, oh, well, no. What's the point in this? There's one guy who's, and everybody now doesn't want him playing because he doesn't even want to be playing for Hibs Nisbet. So we're in a situation now where we have our two strikers that are available for us. Neither of them want to play for Hibs, and we're wanting them to go and score goals for us.
I actually seen a good tweet last night, to be honest, that Nisbet should understand the silence when he went off. And he isn't all that he thinks he is. He offers us nothing. He doesn't give us anything. And do you know what? Look, bare minimum is 100%.
Bring back Simon Murray.
Mate, well, you don't even get 10% of him. Was Simon Murray the best football player in the world? Absolutely not. But he would run. He would run himself on the ground for Hibs.
He scored big goals as well.
He did.
He was a big game player, like, to be fair.
Make the best centre half in the world.
Well, if you want to hear my team just to make you annoyed and angry, I would stick with Macy and goals. I would go back three of Hanlon, Porteous, and McGinn. I would play Doig left wing back, Cadden right wing back, a midfield trio of the midfield.
Did you say Gogic? Sorry, and I will hang up.
No, Daniel, Gogic played terribly last night. He's going to let in. I'd go with Newland, Doyle, Hayes, because I think if you've got three in midfield, I think they actually work together. And then it'd be a coin flip between Campbell or Allen. I think I'd probably go for Campbell just because I'd rather have that energy burst in the midfield, and then Allen can come on for the last 20 if we're struggling. And then up top, I'd put Boyle and probably Nisbet just because there's not really another option, as we've said. Yeah, it's not sounding like a great team. I've seen some teams on Twitter, and Jesus Christ, people want us to get relegated. Not ideal. So, boys, we're coming to the part of the podcast that I've started to dread. We're going to go for score predictions. Michael, I think you might have the most optimistic out of you three. So, what are you thinking for score prediction?
3-0 Ross County.
All right, well, I hope I'm wrong. I was going to say who's scoring for Hibs, but apparently nobody. Liam, score prediction?
I wasn't asked for a team, but I'll just quickly chime in. I think he will go quite safe and steady. It's all right. Don't worry about it, mate. Don't worry. Ewan wouldn't miss me out, but never mind. I think he'll go very much with the tried and tested with the team. I think we'll go up there and win 2-0.
Oh. Who's netting the goals?
Jamie Gullen and
on goal.
Martin Boyle penalty.
On goal.
On goal. Cole Donaldson double on goal. Jamie Carragher.
Has he tried and tested if Jamie Gullen's getting a goal?
Because he's going to come off the bench because Kevin Nisbet's going to be tired after 45 minutes of doing nothing.
Tired and tested.
Greg, I'm worried about hearing. What's your score prediction?
I was actually going to go for 3-0 County as well. But I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say 4-0 County.
Oh, God, well, County have had quite the turnaround from no wins this season to back-to-back 5-0, then 4-0 wins. I'm going to go for a bit optimistic. I'm on Liam's side of the fence here. They don't score many goals at home, to be fair, so I don't see them scoring against us. I think we'll nick a really ugly 1-0 win, but it's going to be a horrendous game to watch. I don't think we're going to enjoy watching it at all, to be honest. But yeah, sadly, there's not really much positivity in the Hibs world at the moment, and we don't really have a nice anecdote to end us off. So thank you very much for listening. This has been Down the Slope.
See, to be honest, hold on, just one more point. Hibs could win 4-0 the weekend, and I'd still want them there.
Greg, we could win 4-0 every game for the remainder of time, and you would still be with the bed sheets out the window banging on a drum. Yeah. Get
Greg's actually sticking with Jack Ross out this time. He's not going to flip-flop between Jack Ross and Jack Ross. Out. He's going to stick him out this time.
Who's dead to me?
All right, we've opened the can of worms then, all right. Michael, where do you stand? Are you Jack Ross in or out? Have you got a percentage? We can take that as well.
I'm very much Jack Ross out.
Okay.
I was Jack Ross out when we got beat from Hearts in the semi-final. And I've seen little to nothing to change my mind.
That is a very long time. That's
oh, come on, Morin. We crawled over the line for third when it should have been wrapped up months in advance.
Let's have it right. We finished, I think, was 6 points ahead of Aberdeen in the end. Is that correct? Last season? Yeah. They never scored a goal in 10 games. We never had Hearts in the league. And I have never seen in my lifetime Hibs get 12 out of 12 points against Hearts, so we'd have dropped points against them. We were shite. We had three tests last season, two semi-finals and a final, and we lost them all. We never beat either Celtic or Rangers. No. And this season, nothing has changed my mind. We went 1-0 down in Andorra, which I was not happy about. So, yeah, not for me.
And if you're wondering where the second bed sheet in Edinburgh was with a Jack Ross written all over it, it's also at Michael Moran's house. There you go, two bed sheets. Liam, have you started?
Nielsen and Budge out. Nielsen and Budge out. I mean, at this point, I don't know. I'm honestly... I'm not bothered whether he stays or goes at this point, to be honest. I think there's kind of, it's become quite a toxic period of time, I think, recently, with results going the way they've gone. He doesn't do enough, and you know, the big game record that keeps on getting mentioned, he doesn't do enough in those big games for me to really be able to mount a substantial defence for him. And I think the worrying thing for me is folk are voting with their feet. And that's because of a number of reasons. I mean, the ticket prices last night were a shambles for a walk-up, but there was another 17,500 inside Easter Road last night. The famous five was empty. The West was the West. I couldn't really see the East from where I'm sitting in the East, but people are losing interest, unfortunately, and that's when the clubs start to take notice, when it starts to hit them in the pocket. Didn't do that last season. I still think third place was a good achievement last season. People want to rubbish that in hindsight, and you know, folk can feel free to rubbish it if they want, but to finish third for the first time in 16 years, I still think that's an achievement, but some people value the cups higher. Not me personally, but each to their own.
Be lucky to finish third bottom at this rate.
I wouldn't say I was rubbish in finishing third. I'm just saying I think we finished third by proxy. I don't think we were the third best team in the league. I think we were the ninth least worst.
I mean, whatever. Like, whatever way you want to look at it, it's still third place. Like,
I know,
the day, but like, a ninth worst medal. And like, I think at the end of the day, like, there's clearly the situation we're in just now absolutely changes people's view of the world, and people become more negative as a result of the run we're in at the moment. But there wasn't any people shouting for Jack Ross out when we'd won 3-3 at the start of the season. So, you know, the world changes, the world moves on. He's lost four games in a row. I can understand people wanting him out of the club. Like I say, I'm pretty 50-50. But this whole, I've been calling for him to go since this time, and I've not had it. it's kind of nonsense because people haven't been calling for it every single week when we've been winning games. People are calling for it now because we're losing. So the reality is we're not losing run. People want them out of the club. Fine.
How long have you followed me on Twitter for?
I don't know. A couple of years, maybe. I don't know. But the reality is folk haven't been calling for him to go and win it. Like that's just the simple nature of football. I think the reality is it's probably, even if we win the next two games, I think because of this sustained run we've been on, lost four in a row for the first time in how long was it?
It was 2014.
I mean that kind of record's not a good record. It's funny because he was quoting records just a few weeks ago about being in the top four for the longest period, and now all the records are negative records. It's really hard to see a way out of this.
Funny he's not quoting them now.
I just can't warm to him either. I've really tried to like him, but I just can't. You need somebody that you can like as a manager. He's like a robot. You know what he's got to say after every game. He says the same thing.
Him's more so than, I'd say, our City rivals, but probably more so than most clubs in Scotland. They're very much a club that are formed on kind of working class principles and about being a community club. And I think a lot of what he hits out with does not resonate with the vast majority of our fan base. It probably sounds great to some of the guys sitting up in corporate in the West End. No offence to the guys that sit in corporate in the West End. They probably love that stuff.
But say average hospitality. Punter,
it doesn't wash with those folk. And
no, it's not what this club's about, is it?
And we could get a simpleton manager in who could speak like that and do all those things, but maybe no good for the club. But do you know what I mean? I think we're in a wee bit of catch 22, to be honest.
I think to be honest, that's why a lot of folk took to Lennon, because he would say how it was. He wouldn't beat about the bush. You know, towards the end, he maybe did get a wee bit too OTT, but he wouldn't be about the bush. I mean, Jack Ross going on about we weren't the best versions of ourselves is incredible.
He's actually like a 16-year-old girl on Instagram.
I said after that, I said it's like 500 Twitter, innit? We weren't the best versions of ourselves. It's incredible. And do you know what? He's so boring in the press conferences. And do you know what? He threw his best centre-half under the bus at Ibrox. Well under the bus. Because he can't stand up to folk. So that's my opinion on it.
Again, though, I mean, like the press conferences and stuff, I think everything you've said is valid. But again, though, the press conferences and stuff are only an issue when you're losing games of football. At the end of the day, no one's given a flying fuck what you say in press conferences when you're winning games of football. And some of the stuff he said last few weeks, and the way he tries to pull the wool over the fans' eyes last night about being very good in the second half, well, that stuff's never going to wash. And sometimes you just got to wipe the slate clean. But I'll be honest, I'm sick fed up of us getting a new manager on every two seasons and going through a rebuild. I'm bored of seeing it. I'm bored of seeing a guy clear players out, bring new players in. Because a manager coming in is not going to fancy half those players. They're not trying for him, so why would they try for the new manager? Sorry.
Fair point.
Folk thought the podcast finished about 5 minutes ago. Harry was like saying the day in the outro,
You've now hijacked my witty outro. I was going to say this has been the longest outro of all time. I was quite rude before, though. Obviously, we've been joined by the wonderful Michael. Michael, if people enjoyed your opinions, where can they find you?
On my Twitter, MichaelMoran01.
I'm sure if you are in the Greg and Michael camps at the moment of being slightly Ross out, and to the extent that you've got a bed sheet hanging out your window, then you should definitely go along and follow Michael. Apart from that, thanks so much for listening and enduring our pain alongside us, as I'm sure you've done in the last week or two. We'll catch you next time. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah.